Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, look who we have.
We're about to be joined by, Reese Hoskins.
Yes, Reese sitting down with us right now.
Of the Philadelphia Phillies. Grab a headset, Reese. And first thing we want to do is, my daughter said, congratulate Reese because we hear he just got married because you saw it on Instagram.
Yes, I did. I did just get married. It was beautiful. I think we're still in that honeymoon phase.
Where was the honeymoon?
We went to Tahiti. So
nice.
Hard to complain about being on an island.
Temperature slightly different today.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
At least the sun's out today. So.
How about this crowd, man? This
is pretty cool.
Pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool. I don't know. It's exciting to be around, obviously, the stadium again. And, yeah, there's like a little bit of a buzz, right? And I don't know. I think it's just the start of an exciting offseason.
Well, the club's done a lot of, you know, really exciting things so far. I mean, yeah, Joe Girardi steps in as the manager, some coaching changes as well. But Zach Wheeler, a guy that you're very familiar with, be pretty nice having him in your rotation, not having to go against him, huh?
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat you guys are, right? I'm just waiting for it to become official.
Right, yeah.
Well, let's pretend it is official.
Yeah, just for hypothetical purposes.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we've become pretty familiar with him as a pitcher over the last couple of years. I'm just glad I don't have to face him if he's on our team.
Yeah.
Obviously, the stuff is there. You can see that on a nightly basis for him. I don't know. He's a guy that, you know, if he's in our rotation, he can be an anchor of a staff. Mm-hmm. And anytime that guy takes the mound, you feel like you have a pretty good chance to win. You know, especially as an offense, feeling like you don't have to do too much during a game, is very comforting. And you know, obviously, to add that to his staff is only going to make the rest of the team better.
Would you pick a brain of a guy like that who comes in and says, "How did you pitch to me? How did you, you know, how did people pitch to me?"
Oh, 100%. Why not? Right, especially because we've faced each other a ton of times over the last two and a half years. So there's not, you know, there's a good, I don't know if it's, you call it a scouting report. There's a scouting report, right? And I think one thing too that we could talk about is, you know, from the offensive standpoint against him as well. I think that's something valuable, especially in division. You know, having, I don't even know how many at bats I have, but I would guess over 10, 15, maybe 20 at-bats, you know, you can learn a lot of stuff in 20 at-bats against a guy.
For Phillies fans who maybe are familiar but don't know exactly what he brings to the table, like you know, we know he tops out at 97,
sure.
But what does he bring in terms of stuff?
Yeah, it's power stuff. It's an uncomfortable at-bat, right? And not only is it power stuff, but, you know, he pitches as well. He's not just chucking it up there. You know, he's got, obviously, the power four-seam fastball, like you said. It's up to 100 miles an hour. You know, towards the end of the second half last year, he started, I think, sinking it a little bit more than he had been. And, you know, when you're sinking the ball at 96, 97, it's just an added element that you have to think about as a hitter. He's got a wipeout slider that's, you know, 87 to 90 miles an hour. And then I think he started to throw a little bit more of a slower hook just to add another wrinkle in. And again, anytime you got to worry about 96, and then you have a guy that throws strikes with a few other off-speed pitches, it's incredibly difficult at bat.
Have you spent any time talking with Joe Girardi in the offseason?
A little bit. I got a chance to go to the press conference. You know, we spoke for 15 minutes after that. Obviously, a lot going on with him in the new city, new organization. You know, he's trying to make his family feel as comfortable as possible. So. I sat down with him a little bit right before I left for my wedding. But since then, obviously, he's quite busy with the offseason as well. We haven't been able to link up since then. I'm sure we will. You know, we still have 10 or so weeks before spring starts, and I'm excited. He's an incredibly easy to be around, incredibly easy to talk to. I think the experience and the resume speaks for itself, and I'm excited just to play under him.
Obviously, the highlight of the offseason has been getting married. But for other than that, what's the...
Yes, it is. I have to say that.
Yeah, it's a good move. I set you up nicely there. walk me through, like, how long do you take to just sort of decompress for a minute? Because let's face it, it's a grind. When you play 162, it's a grind. How much of it is just, let me just chill out for a minute, and then I'll get back to some baseball work for you each offseason?
Like you said, this offseason's been a little bit different with the wedding. I just spent a month away from essentially the world.
Right.
Normally I would give myself, I try to give myself 2 weeks. I normally don't last 2 weeks just because I get bored. You know, we're so used to having such a regimented schedule for 8 months out of the year that doing nothing is weird, right? But only because we love it, right? Like, it's just something that I can't keep myself away from the game. But I'll try to give myself 2 weeks before I start moving around again. I don't usually hit or do any baseball activities till December. Like you said, it's more of a mental break than a physical break, but you got to give your body a chance to kind of get back to zero. But I'm in the weight room usually November 1st, just starting to move around again. You know, assessments happen where there are things that I need to figure out on how to improve my body, whether it's something that happened during the season or I just notice gradual things that I need to try to fix. And that happens usually right around November 1st, maybe the week before. And you come up with a plan. We're sitting here December, what, 6th?
December 7th.
December 7th. I'm already 2 or 3 weeks into my full off-season training program, just kind of getting ready for Valentine's Day.
You stay here in the off-season?
I do. Yeah, I do. I've made Philadelphia my home. I really enjoy the city. It's something that my wife and I now have enjoyed getting to explore, you know, and finding out all these little pockets in the city and the suburbs. And it's just been a lot of fun. And I get to use, obviously, the incredible facilities that we have and just get ready for next season.
Well, do you spend time, you've been to Sixers or Eagles games?
Eagles still, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We went to an Eagles game before we left for the wedding. I've gotten to a few over the past couple off seasons. I'm a sports fan. Obviously, I grew up on the West Coast, so I didn't grow up fans of the Eagles or the Sixers. But you know, over the last couple of years, I've gotten a chance to get to know a few of those guys. So it's easy to root for them. And I don't know, who doesn't like going to football games, basketball games, and just enjoying the craft that those guys have and the work that they display on a nightly basis.
So we sit here, we see a lot of Rhys Hoskins gear, we see a lot of some throwback stuff with Chase Utley, but we do see a lot of Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Tell us what it was like last year playing with Bryce. You know, we all sort of had this soap opera going the entire offseason. We were still about 3 months away from even finding out if he was going to be affiliate this time last year. But playing with him last year and the impact that he had on you guys.
Yeah. I think JT said this earlier in the offseason. I think Bryce is one of the most misunderstood people in baseball, right? He has this kind of villain aura about him. And maybe that's the way that he plays the game. Obviously, he plays incredibly hard, gets in people's faces if he feels like he needs to be. He's just an emotional player. And I tell you what, having that on your team is something that's incredibly infectious and wears off on the rest of your team. I would go to battle with Bryce any day of the week, anytime he wants, because that's just the kind of guy that he is, the kind of player that he is. I'll tell you what, playing against him, I didn't like playing against him, and I get it. But it's someone that you want on your team, someone that makes the players around him, the teammates around him better every day and every way. He's an incredible preparer, someone that knows his routine, knows his body better than anybody else. And is really, really stubborn to that. And that's something that's incredibly admirable and pretty impressive.
At his introductory press conference, he said that the fans here were like all over him, except in his last year, because they wanted him to come here. Were the players like that as well, knowing he could be a free agent?
Yeah, I mean, look, like, there's with the coverage nowadays, especially with social media, there's no secret, right? Like, guys that are becoming free agents, especially a mega star like Bryce, right? You know, so there was playful comments, I think, between him and guys on our team. I'm sure there were playful comments between him and guys on other teams. I think it's just a part of the game, and it looked like he had fun with it.
For you personally, Bryce, it was a season where you look at the power numbers, you look at the on-base, you look at the walks, you got to be happy with that, but it was a struggle towards the end.
Yeah.
What? How would you assess your year last year, and what are you doing differently? You talked about your offseason to maybe try to avoid that.
Sure. When I look back, I think it's really a tale of two halves. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at a snapshot of where I was at the All-Star break, it's a pretty good year.
Yeah.
Obviously, I still think there's a ton of room for improvement, even in the first half. You know, there were some areas of my game that I would like to be better, maybe more consistent. And then obviously you look at the second half, and like you said, it was a struggle. Really the first time that I had struggled for an extended period of time, which I think there's something to take from that itself, right? For whatever reason, I had never really struggled like that before ever in my life. And it's something that I think you have to learn how to do. I think most people, you know, obviously the Mike Trouts aside, the Bryce Harpers aside, they struggle like that at some point, and they learn how to do it, and they learn how to get out of it. And I think that's something that being able to take a step back from, you know, once the season was over, and really analyze that and remember what the feelings were like when it was really bad, is something that I will take now and know that I can get through them.
Right.
The end. There is an end to those. Which there were times last year where it didn't feel like there was an end.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's adjustments, mechanical adjustments that I'll make and am making now that I think will lead to more repeatable swings, more consistency throughout the year. And I think really at the end of the day, that's the name of the game. Mm-hmm.
Two of the greatest power hitters in Phillies history are around the team. Ryan Howard was here for retirement night. He famously said, don't boo these guys, don't boo anybody. Mike Schmidt's here for home games on weekends. Did you ever solicit advice from them, or did they offer you advice when you're going through slumps?
Yeah, both of those guys did, really. I think that's something cool that's really cool about this Phillies organization, right? That I had multiple people reach out to me, multiple, offering help. Multiple people reach out to me saying, you know, don't worry about it. It's baseball. It's the game. You're a talented guy. It's gonna blow by, right? But yeah, both of those guys reached out and said, look, you know what kind of talent you guys have, or you have, you know, personally, you know what kind of player that you are. This is the kind of thing that happens to guys, unfortunately. But with the kind of makeup that you have, it's only something that you'll get better from.
How about Charlie Manuel? What was he like as the hitting coach?
Charlie just has this, you know, this nurturing aura about him, something that's kind of, he's there and he instills confidence in you. So that was pretty cool to be around for the second half, for sure.
All right, listen, we appreciate all the time you spent with us today.
Chris, thanks, man. Appreciate it. It's good seeing you.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the offseason, and congratulations again.
Thanks again. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, Reese Hoskins.
A lot of fun, man. Good catching up with him.
Yes, Reese Hoskins, we appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.